T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we continue here from St. Joe. Chiefs training camp practice just wrapped up. They're just finishing up a little stretching, and then we should be joined by either Chris Jones or Travis Kelce in a little bit, and plenty to talk to about either. Certainly, Kelce, how do you follow up 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons, part of the Madden 99 club? And for Chris Jones, would love to ask him about the transition over to defensive end and how that's been so far. We had a chance before we hopped on the air to just kind of watch them going through some of the individual position groups. And now he's over with that defensive end position group, a little bit different.
What if they miss him over there?
We'll have to ask him about that if that's the case, if we get Chris Jones to join us here as still not a padded practice. That'll be here in a couple of days.
What's your favorite stretch?
The favorite stretch?
I'm a big fan of the elbow, right? Like grabbing the elbow to stretch it over your head. I played baseball. Like, you know, that was a big one.
Just the arm across the chest and a little, or the, you know, we were talking to Kling about it earlier. You know, where they kind of like scoop. Yes, I guess it's for the hamstrings, where like they like scoop the ground. They kind of like scoop the ground.
Sure.
I can't. I got a table in front of me. Cody's laughing at me as I'm trying.
You look like, super.
People are like, what is this guy? What is this guy doing over here? Stretch. You know, the hammies.
Stretch,
you know?
Before the interview.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right.
Limber up. You should be plenty loose. It's more than warm enough.
That's not a problem.
In order to do that.
Alex,
that
can you touch your toes? Can either one of you guys touch your toes?
What do you think? Are you kidding me?
Like without bending my knees?
Correct.
I mean, I'm trying. I mean, it's got a nice little burn now. Here we go.
Maybe back in the Presidential Fitness Award.
I think if you guys are doing stretches while the player walks over to your table, they're going to have a lot more respect for you. Be like, these guys get it.
Should I show them how high I can jump? Based on a photo at training camp yesterday of Steelers practice, I can jump as high as Ben Roethlisberger. Also, we've established.
No way. No way.
I was accused of cheating this
chance.
One.
No.
0% chance. Look, I beat you 2 years in a row.
Look,
in the
it's yeah, nothing. Big Ben though. Me, yes.
Big Ben weighs 400 pounds.
Year one there was controversy on the vertical.
He slimmed down this year.
After camp, we are going to be a little lighter by the time we get done with Chiefs training camp, without even having to jog or anything.
We should have weighed you guys before you left for camp.
That's definitely something.
Damn it,
that
would have been good. Is it too late?
No, we're only 3 days into this thing.
But today's the hottest. This feels like the real
sweat lodge.
Next
week it's in the 80s, so you're right. This is the hot one to get through. We're also, by the way, off at noon today. We'll hand things off to Vern. Vern's on deck show. He'll get you set for some Royals baseball. They'll have a chance to they've already guaranteed themselves a split of the series after a walk-off win last night, but they'll wrap up the series against the White Sox this afternoon out at Kauffman Stadium. So Vern will get you set at noon.
I should give Matheny at least a little credit in this. We all kind of mock the wait for a special story in the second half of the season stuff. And even if it doesn't lead to playoff success, to this point, and it is very early gold, to this point, they've had a lot of success in the second half of the season.
What, 8-3?
Yeah.
Half?
Okay. It's not, again, it doesn't, I want to see the whole story. I'm just reading a chapter of the book right now. But they have, you know what they're doing? They're showing the fight they showed us earlier in the year that we used to give them credit for that went away when they just started getting their teeth kicked in. Last night felt like it was getting ready to be the beginning of like a 6 or 7 game losing streak in my mind, right? Where you lost the one the night before, you come right back and you blow a lead late after a good start, because you blow the one the night before at the bullpen. Keller pitches great and you blow it. Then you come back in and you have a chance to, you know, like you blow opportunities to win the game late, and here we go again, right? Because they had a runner on third, one out, doesn't happen. And then Salvador Perez puts a ball to the absolute moon. You come back and win the thing in the 10th inning in the extra innings rule for the first time at Kauffman since last year. And, you know, okay, a little bit of life, I'll take it. And then the trade deadline is like 29 hours from now, which could change the entire landscape of everything we're talking about.
There's more movement today in other cities, and the Yankees just announced officially their move, Joey Gallo, with a big trade last night, but now official there. So that is something tomorrow as the trade deadline comes, and keep an eye on that. Chris Jones getting in a little more work post-practice right now.
Working on his exterior. his end moves, right?
I would say so.
I mean, that's what it looks like. It just looks like he's doing handwork, at least on this end. We'll find out. We're still awaiting which player it will be. The mystery remains. Place your bets. Step up, place your bets. Christensen's already close. He can just pop over. And then Kelsey. Again, I'm rooting for both. Am I allowed to request both? Is that too much?
That would be incredible. I think you know better, though. I think you know.
I only have one headset too, so you're gonna have to give yours up for the
Look,
other player.
If both of them showed up, I think we would easily do that. That would not be a problem.
You would happily settle for that option
for the show. Yeah, it's all about for the show, man.
It's just which part? Yes, it is. It's just which one of us gets to do it. One that's what we'd have to decide. That's just one decision. If you're curious, by the way, in the absence of Travis Kelce for the back half of practice, Noah Gray did make a deep connection with Patrick Mahomes at one point. Pete Sweeney's already called him Baby Kelce at some point.
We're already doing that?
He's already doing that? I didn't do it. He tweeted.
That's a thing? That's happening?
That feels early. Mm. Pete Sweeney will join us tomorrow
at
11:30
post-practice. Okay, we got to talk to Pete about this.
It feels early, doesn't it, Nick? It feels like that's jumping the gun a bit.
I think that's ridiculously
Come on.
Early.
Baby Kelce. The guy hasn't even played in a preseason game. And played in a preseason game. I know they really like Noah Gray, and he did run with the ones yesterday a little bit, and obviously today you just mentioned how he filled in there for Kelce, who missed the rest of practice after some sort of injury.
Every rookie on the team is baby somebody else. So Trey Smith is baby Will Shields, and now Noah Gray, baby Travis Kelce.
And then what's Mecole Hardman? Which baby is he?
He's baby Tyreek.
Oh, he's baby Tyreek. Okay.
Boy, but he's not – McCormick's not a rookie. You said rookies.
Oh, any rookie. Specifically, huh? Okay. I'm just asking.
The guys we're excited to see for the first time.
Yeah, I'm just asking what the rules
are. Oh, it's baby Derek Johnson.
That's Willie Gay. He's a second-year player. Any
Nick
young Bolton player.
Or Nick Bolton.
Or Nick Bolton. He could be baby Derek Johnson. I don't want to go baby in front of it. We had this – you missed this conversation, Nick. But I was offended when they were calling Patrick Mahomes baby goat leading up to the Super Bowl last year. And I thought he should be offended – by that moniker, because it implies you're worse. It just automatically
No, it implies you're younger.
Yeah, thank you. This is we had a whole
worse.
This was a whole Super Bowl week discussion and back and forth.
Now
Cody
it's
was
back
offended.
Again.
Cody was offended by it. There's nothing
you remember
wrong.
You remember when Brittany Matthews had a little something to say about it on Twitter?
Yeah, it's her
remember
husband.
Remember when she backed me
it's
up?
It's her future husband. It's different.
You think she's just saying that without Patrick Mahomes being like, I don't like being called baby goat?
It's her future husband.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
I'm with Alex 100% here.
I can't believe I'm still getting teamed up on this. I've never had anybody on this show.
Maybe it's a ridiculous
maybe
stance to take, Cody.
It's
not
ridiculous.
A good one.
You're like, how come nobody will agree with me? Well, maybe.
Why won't anyone agree with me about this?
Maybe there's a reason. Just maybe there's a reason for it.
You think? Because I'm right, and nobody else wants to be on this side of being right.
Text line thinks Noah Gray sounds like a porn name. That's from multiple people on the text line.
What?
I'm just reading the text.
Multiple people on the text line?
Yep.
That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't make sense. Why would that even get sent out? By the way, it does appear Chris Jones is making his way over to us.
Yeah, he's stopping, greeting some fans, but he'll be over here in a few minutes. But he's checking out some of the talking to the fans. More than anybody else, he talks to the fans, as you guys have known from.
He likes to talk.
Yeah, he's got a great personality, and he is making his way over here. I'm excited to talk to him because if you look at Chris Jones, we know he played defensive end in college for Mississippi State, but what's this transition been like, and what's overall the feeling about this team coming off the Super Bowl? We know multiple players have talked about the motivation that they have after what happened in the Super Bowl, Cody. So let's get a chance to talk to Chris Jones about that.
He's going to sit in the shade even.
I think he's smart. He's smart. He's got the
– I respect the
he's
move.
Gonna, he's moving up the cart. He's going to sit in the golf cart during the interview. This is a veteran move. We'll talk to him when he gets that headset on.
How you guys doing?
What's going on, Chris? I was going to say you were about to pull a veteran move. You're going to sit in the cart and sit in the shade.
Oh, 1,000%. I offered the lady the cart first, but I'm definitely moving in. It's extremely hot out here.
Yeah, how are you guys doing that? Because we're just doing a radio show, and we're sweating like crazy. I heard you interacting with some of the fans earlier. It sounded as if you needed some energy from them to kind of keep you guys going through it.
I did, man. I haven't felt this type of weather, and it's been a while. It's been a while. But it's great to be back. Great to have the fans back. Great to be back where we can interact with the fans. You know, last year, unfortunately, dealing with COVID, we wasn't able to have fans or interact with fans. So, you know, it's great to have their presence.
When you're getting back into it, how different does it feel 1 year from the next? You say yeah, it's great to have their presence, but, you know, I feel like you were the guy who must have fed off of that for years.
I'm old now. But it's good, man.
For years, sorry. I shouldn't have done that to you.
It's good, man. The feeling just being back around my brothers, get out here and play the game that I love to play, and, you know, be around the team, most importantly. You know, St. Joe puts you in a mindset for 17 days where you are isolated, and it's nothing but ball. So it's fun for me. It's a way to decompress and focus on football.
Is that what those conversations turn like? You know, we found out what some other guys were watching on Netflix and stuff, too, which I'm sure is part of this. But has it just become this isolated conversation about football, or what are the other things that normally come up?
This is where we actually come a little closer because we're not able to have our families, and the only way we can communicate with them is through phone call. And we don't have that much time to kind of communicate with family within the schedule that they have us planned around. So this is where we become closer with our teammates, and our buns start to kick in, and the chemistry of the team starting to tighten up.
I got to ask, how's the dorm food? How's the food set up here?
Listen, I would never talk bad about the food, but it's definitely remind you of college. It's different. It's very different. But, you know, for 17 days, I don't mind to play the game I love.
Are you a picky eater? Because, like, my co-host, Gold, he's a very, very picky eater. Like, chicken nuggets and macaroni only as an adult man. Are you past that stage of your life?
I'm not, man. I'm not. I'm very picky. I try to do two greens a day. You know, fortunately for us, we get the French fries every day. So, unfortunately for me, I've been craving French fries for some odd reason. But they give us a buffet style where we're able to choose multiple things and have a lot of different options to choose from.
So, are the linemen, are you guys pushing together the twin beds, or how does that work? Because there's no way the twin bed's working for you.
Listen, you got to push together the twin XL beds, make it a king bed. And put you a mattress topper on it and roll with it. Roll with it, man.
Who's your roommate this year?
I was fortunate enough to get Jaron Reed. So, you know, he's a very interesting guy. Me and him has become closer. First day, he overflooded the toilet. I don't know what type of royal rumble he had going on, but it's fun. It's fun.
I hope maintenance got there quick.
You know, the fire alarm went off. Everybody woke up. You know,
wait, this was in the middle of the night?
It was. You know, he had a royal rumble. You know, I think they had chili the night before. So,
yeah. We're talking to Chris Jones here on 610 Sports Radio. You bring up Jaron Reed. Other than the toilet issue, as far as him on the field, it seems as though that move is kind of allowing you to go outside a little bit. We were watching you. Is it a little bit different for you to be with the defensive end group and not with your guys in the interior?
It's more so fun for me. Interesting. I get to play with both sides. You know, I've always tried to preach for them to move me around the defensive line since Fast got here. And fortunate for me, we was able to acquire Jaron Reed this offseason, and he's a vital piece to this defense. You know, he's a perimeter three tech in this league. You know, he's made a name for himself, and we got him for 1 year. Hopefully we can have him for 5 or 6 years. And he's allowed me to move in and outside on variations of different schemes on this defense.
How much inside versus outside do you think you'll play? Do you get any sense of it early?
You know, it depends on what team, what game plan we have. I can't give too much disclosure of information, but it's my game plan.
When you're looking at his move to the inside, you said the move to the outside and stuff for you. How hard was it to relearn some of it? I know the techniques are kind of the same, but the position is different, right?
Yeah, the different. It's very different. You know, playing three tech, you know, your interaction is very fast. The hand-to-hand comeback, it happens right now because you're just like two steps, you're right there. And with defensive end, you have so much room. You're like on your own little island. So it was challenging at first to get to learn it. But I'm excited about the move.
We're talking to Chris Jones here on 610 Sports Radio. I know you're an SEC guy. You had to be excited about Mississippi State winning the College World Series.
Hey, Hail State, baby, Hail State.
What do you make of all this realignment stuff then at this point? Are you excited? It looks like Oklahoma and Texas are headed over to your guys.
Listen, you know, everybody want to be part of the greatest conference in college, SEC, the best conference in college. And, you know, it just brings more competition to our league. You know, I wish they would have moved when I was there. You know, Mizzou still trying to transition to the SEC, you know.
But, do you give Nick Bolton a little bit of crap for that?
Of course, man. Of course. You know, all these guys want to act like they're SEC, the original SEC we know, especially the SEC West, the best division in the conference. So, you know, good for those guys.
It's the Olympics time, Chris. I'm just curious. We found out that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a big fan of dressage, which is just the, you know, fancy horse dancing, essentially. What do you watch for the Olympics? Do you watch any of it?
Unfortunately, I haven't had time. I watched the highlights of the USA Basketball Olympics. Unfortunately, those guys are having trouble. But I know KD and Jason Tatum, they'll bring them along.
Are you still playing basketball in the offseason?
You know it.
Because Patrick can't, so I always feel like it's funny to rub it in his face that other guys can't.
Listen, Pat isn't, you know, that's the quarterback of the team. He hurt his finger. He can't throw. I hurt my finger. I still got to get out and play. My toe get messed up. I still got to run. Pat toe gets messed up. He can't throw off of it. So, with different type of position. So, I'm out there dunking on everybody. Tyreek, I was fortunate enough this offseason to attend Tyreek a celebrity game, and it was fun. You know, I dunked on him, won MVP. It was amazing.
We're talking to Chris Jones here on 610 Sports Radio. So many of your teammates throughout the offseason have talked about that lasting feeling you guys had from down in Tampa against the Buccaneers. Is that something that just continues even to this day and throughout this season? Do you feel like there's no question about what you have to motivate you? Is that the game? Have you gone back and watched it?
I've watched it a couple times, but you know, it's a new year every year. You can't look at last year. You know, we made a deal last year. We didn't close the deal. So, you know, we got to see what we can do better leading to this season and challenge each other. You know, my goal this season is to get 1% better every day, challenge my teammates to get 1% better every day. And if we continue to do that and keep that pace going, by the time we reach the season, we can just keep it striving.
New year, new position. How many sacks?
You know, I don't really put no number on it, but we trying to exceed expectations, man. Hopefully the whole group have 50. We be the highest leading group in sacks, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. I'll talk to you after the season and see was my expectations right.
Chris Jones joined us here on 610 Sports Radio. Appreciate it, man. We'll let you get inside.
Hey, appreciate you guys. I just got to ask one question.
Okay.
Could you guys grab me a snow cone?
Please. Is it too late?
It's not too late. I see somebody head moving.
We'll get what flavor?
It don't even matter at this point.
Go get Cody. Seriously, Cody's going to go grab.
Cody, I love you, man.
A snow cone.
You are a trooper, Cody.
We're going to find out if Cody has his wallet or not at this point in time.
Oh, they're charging? I thought that was free. Thank you, Cody.
Yeah, no, it's not free, Chris. I think it's all right. I think we'll go ahead and get this one. I think we'll have no problem.
I appreciate you guys. If you guys want to talk to me every day, I mean, we can make this thing happen.
I mean, we're down for it. If you want to stop by after every practice, let us know how it's been going so far.
I don't mind. You know, if a snow cone is included in that type of cut, track, you know, I'm all for it.
Is and now it's hot outside, so I know that's why you want the snow cone, but what's the go-to, like, you know, dessert or go-to candy or whatever you're rolling with?
My favorite dessert is probably Grand Marnier cream brulee. It's more so of a cream brulee with the fruit. You put it, it's hot, it's like a cake batter. You put it in there, mix it up, it's amazing.
The last time we had you on, you were telling us about, you know, the sub sandwiches and everything. And I think you're also – aren't you the smoothie guy too?
I am,
for the most
man.
Part in town. I know you've been big with that. Is that something that, like, overall in the off season, how much involvement do you kind of do down in Miami with kind of the food scene overall?
I'm very involved. Our partner, I'm a brand ambassador of Tropical Cafe in Miami. You know, I'm a big smoothie, healthy eating guy. I had to change my diet over the years for my weight and my transition change of position. So, you know, it's been big with me, especially my diet.
All right, Chris. It looks like Cody's got a
Cody!
Snow cone. I think it's an orange. Is that
Cody!
What flavor is this? Orange? Mango. We got mango for Chris Jones.
Cody, you are the man. I love you, Cody. Anytime you guys need me, I'm available. No doubt about it.
There it is. A mango snow cone for Chris.
Thank you, guys.
Man. There you go. Chris
Cody,
Jones. Chris Jones with us here. You didn't think that was going to happen, huh?
No, and their card reader wasn't working, so I had to sweet talk him out of it.
I explained. This is for,
I didn't Chris,
this is for Chris Jones.
So this is
get,
for Chris
get the
Jones.
Man a snow cone.
Said, I'll pay you any day. I'll be high every day. I'll pay for a snow cone a different day, I swear.
People want to know if you cut the line to get Chris Jones. I think for Chris Jones, everybody's good with that.
Yeah, so what if I did?
Yeah, for him, I
you
think everybody,
get to the front.
Any Chiefs fan would let you cut them if you said, hey, man, I'm trying to get a snow cone for Chris Jones. And now the snow cone is taken care of. Snow cone sounds fantastic. He wants to come on every day. We're certainly not going to complain.
I'll get him a snow cone every day if he wants to come on every day. I don't
That's
have any
the
complaints.
Incentive.
Like, whatever it takes to make this done.
That were the terms of the deal that he proposed. He said, if there's a snow cone involved, I will come on the show every day.
Okay. I think I can work through that budgetary-wise. We're talking about the $6,600 we'd have for something else. I can afford whatever the Kona ice price is. Again, I did not technically pay for that yet. So they...
I bet you're not going to have to pay for that. Something tells me
it's
clear.
One of the two employees who was working there was a little more skeptical of giving me. I'm like, I'm dead serious.
He's right there.
It's for Chris Jones. He's right there. Please give me the snow cone for him. It worked out just fine. We're good. He got one. I went a little mango, a little pina colada.
Did he ask you?
I asked for some suggestions. The young woman who was working there said, anything mixed with pina colada is a definite move. So I put a little bit in there. Added some mango in the mix and then handed it off to Chris Jones. Problem solved.
Is that going to be the new thing now tomorrow? Our next guest.
You want a snow cone?
Now that's going to be the expectation. If you come on 6:10 and we're coming after practice, we're taking some time to talk to you. You got to have a snow cone ready to go.
Well, next time I'll prepare ahead of time and get one, before it's too late. I didn't realize that I was going to be on the hook.
Snow cone Jones.
Hey, I don't blame you. Can you imagine? Like, this is the perfect weather to get a snow cone in. It's 100 degrees outside at camp today.
He wouldn't put a number on the sack total. Wouldn't put a number on that, but
I think you've got it. Like, if you're making personal expectations, even though he only had, 7.5 last year, I think you've got to think double digits if he's going to be on the outside. Because that's now his primary responsibility. He had said before in the interior, he's been above that before, that he put too much emphasis on that from year to year. But if you're on the edge, that's the job. The job is get sacks. I think you got to think double digits, 10, 12.
Yeah, 10 to 12 sacks, I think, has got to be the expectation. I told you Jaron Reed, I think, can get 6.5 or so. All right, how about one of the stars of last year who came out of the draft and a lot of people didn't expect a whole lot and turned out to be perhaps one of the steals of the entire draft? That's L'Jarius Sneed, who's now the number one corner for this team. He's addressing the media live here on 6:10.
Man, his quickness. You know, he's a very great, great player, you know. He was a first rounder as well. You know, you can tell why he's out there. You know, I think he's going to help us out a lot this season.
Giving you the ability to be both inside and nickel and both outside.
I take a lot of pride in it, you know. I got to get myself ready mentally, you know. It tells me that he believes in me, and I got to take advantage of it.
Jarius, how much did playing safety that last year in college maybe assist with playing multiple roles right now in the defensive
end? It helped out a lot, you know, mentally. You know, helped my game out a lot to see it from the back end and that corner, see it from that end. So it helped me out a lot.
With you one-on-one today, what are some of the instructions that he shares with you as practice is going along, as you're watching the defense from the backfield?
He told me slow down and just read my keys.
What did you learn most from the Super Bowl, Jarius?
Oh, man. It was a lot that I learned, mentally. It helped me out mentally a lot. I could say that playing against, making it there, just playing in the Super Bowl was a blessing. You know, it just motivated me to get back there.
He says it helped you mentally. How did it help you mentally?
Because of the things that I seen, doing there and what I can do and what I cannot do.
How much more beneficial has this offseason and training camp been for you compared to last year when you were coming as a rookie and doing everything virtual and you get to be around the guys and the coaches?
It helped me out a lot. Last year we didn't have the mini camp and stuff, and I could say it helped me out grow a lot. As of where I'm at now, I'm still growing and I'm still learning. That's to this day, though.
Last year during the pre-draft process, obviously you had to spend so much time working out for your pre-draft stuff. Drills that weren't specifically assigned for or designed for football. How does this offseason help you prepare, knowing that you were able to focus more on the football stuff?
It helped me out a lot, I could say, mentally. Mentally, as in last year, I couldn't be on the field and go through plays. I had to look through an iPad or do that. But now I'm actually walking through it and going through it and actually putting myself through it. And that's how I learn fast.
Jarius, I'm sure when you go into a rookie year, you're confident, but you're also probably wondering a little bit how it's going to turn out. When you had the kind of year you had, do you return a different player, different mindset-wise?
No, I try not to focus on last year. That's in the past. I did what I did. It was a blessing what I did, but it's a whole new year, and I want more in myself, and I'm motivated to get more. Yeah.
Are you expecting more of a challenge in this year now that other teams are aware of you?
Yes, sir. No doubt. It's a challenge, and I'm ready for it.
Is there anything you have to do differently, Jarius, in terms of your body and how you just want to enter the season, given that it's another game, 17, and you had to deal with the injury in the middle of the year?
Oh yeah, stay hydrated. I'm playing two positions, so. I'm not coming off the field, I have to be in the top shape that I can be in.
How much fun is it being in the NFL? Last year you wanted to earn a spot. You get to go to the Super Bowl. What's it mean to you to be in it?
Oh, I'm still trying to earn a spot, you know. My spot is, it's not guaranteed, you know. I'm still trying to earn that spot.
Anything else? All right, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, that was L'Jarius Sneed speaking to the media courtesy of Chiefs.com after practice. And there's no, he was asked, you know, does he expect this to be a more difficult year? Because now, you know, people are expecting you. People are looking at you as the number one corner versus last year where he wasn't unknown.
Surprise.
He was a complete unknown. And only played, I think people forget, he only played in 9 games last year. But we have these huge expectations that he is going to be one of the better corners in football right out of the gate, right in week 1.
That's a big difference. And that will be the jump we still have to know about it. He just seems way more of a known because of the way he played. And honestly, the versatility, Gold. It's like if one position doesn't work, the other one would, you know? There's always a spot for a guy like L'Jarius Sneed. He just played too well. I don't think he can play that well as a rookie coming in fresh as a 4th-round pick and not expect me to think you're going to be that good again going into year 2, even if sophomore slumps are a thing that exist.
Coming up next, we'll continue things here live in St. Joe as we continue our Chiefs training camp coverage on your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs 610 Sports Radio. We'll talk more about the pass rush. And the one area in particular, in addition to pass rush, where the Chiefs could get better, we'll also follow up with what Chris Jones had to say to us a few minutes ago.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour live up in St. Joe. Another day of Chiefs practice wrapping up as the team will continue tomorrow, same time, 9:15. If you're a Chiefs fan trying to make it up, be sure you've already reserved your tickets through the Chiefs. That is a requirement. But today was the biggest crowd as it was open to everybody, not just season ticket holders. Appreciate Chris Jones for joining us. The text line still mentioning that they don't believe you, that the credit card machine was broken. They just think you didn't have any money to buy Chris Jones a snow cone.
I swear to God.
Thank you to the snow cone tent behind us, though, for making sure we all got that taken care of.
Cody
will never would never buy me a snow cone. I understand. It's one of those
where
it's
true.
Is Cody cheap?
It's well, no. It's just,
no.
It's,
I'm not.
Look,
cheap. That's not.
It's Chris Jones. I don't buy. I mean, you gotta buy Chris Jones a snow can.
Honestly, snow cone. I can't believe I'm being accused of being the person. I came with card in hand. I had to sweet talk him. I had to negotiate a free snow cone out of
on their part to go ahead and give you the snow cone for Chris Jones. I'm gonna go ahead and say that was probably tomorrow when people are up at camp. You're telling me they're not gonna want the mango snow cone that Chris Jones had yesterday.
This is perfect advertising.
Can we make
are
a sign?
Camp?
Can we make a sign that just says free snow cones for any Chiefs player who does an interview with Cody and Gold?
And let's send people to the Kona Ice Stand and tell them they have to order the Chris Jones. I'd like the Chris Jones, please.
Yeah, it's just
that's
a little mango.
Pina colada. It's a
perfect.
Mix. That's it. That's the Chris Jones.
Chris Jones, appreciate that from him. He also, you know, one of the things he mentioned, too, was that what we all thought, adding Jaron Reed gives the coaches some more flexibility with how they can move Chris Jones around. And we've seen that here in the first couple days of practice. I don't think he's going to play a defensive end 100% of the time, but it gives the coaches some flexibility, and that's something that we expect the minute that they went out and signed Jaron Reed. And can't wait till they put the pads on, because it's one thing to see him go through some of these drills at defensive end. I want to see when Chris Jones puts the pads on at defensive end, really
going
for the first time in his professional career.
Yeah, going against either
Orlando
Mike Remmers,
Brown
who played
or,
very good at right tackle, or Orlando Brown, who's supposed to be their savior at left tackle. Like, if he's going up against a good offensive line, it'll be a real challenge.
And we now know if we get Jaron Reed on the show, I feel like we need to get Jaron Reed on the show to address what apparently occurred overnight a few nights ago with the toilet and their roommates, and they had to call maintenance in the middle of the night. He said the fire alarm went off, too. It was a mess.
I can't believe he would blow his guy up like
that. I mean, he spilled it pretty quick. He made sure that was out there. We'll make sure we get maybe Jaron Reed on the show at some point during camp, because that needs to be addressed. A little injury update, though. We had mentioned throughout the show today during practice that Travis Kelce had left practice early. He was walking under his own power, according to our Nate Taylor, who of course will join us throughout the season. The Chiefs say Travis Kelce left with back and hip tightness. So see where that progresses. No reason
that
to rush
sound
anything.
Worse.
Just like Anthony Hitchens, who has a hamstring issue. These are two veterans. They know what they're doing. Let them take as much time as they need to make sure that you're not risking anything, and I'm sure that's
Travis
the approach they'll be.
He's played like 20 games a year for the last 3 years. It's cool.
Back's a little tight.
If he wants to take the rest of training camp off, I wouldn't have any issue with it. I know he was originally scheduled to join us today. Hopefully later on in training camp we'll be able to work that out. But there is absolutely, like you said, no reason at all for a player like him to rush him through injury under really any circumstances. It just doesn't make sense. If you're curious, though, Noah Gray did catch at least one deep pass, like I had said previously in there. So if you want to ever look at a bright side, because nobody thinks that this is going to cost Travis Kelce time at this stage, right? A little
tightness.
That's crazy.
No, man, it's day two.
Yeah, so, like, there's tons of time. There's no worry about any of that. You would have taken it easy with him anyway. This is a good opportunity for Noah Gray to get some familiarity with Patrick Mahomes, which is going to be vital because he's not the type of tight end two they had been targeting going forward. You know, they've gone with those big, heavy-bodied, oh, we're running two tight end sets and we're going to run it, you guys, for a long time. That includes a guy like Blake Bell. Noah Gray, I think they want to develop more into that pass-catching guy that Travis Kelce is. Becoming Travis Kelce as a pass catcher is a nearly impossible feat, but I think they want them to be more involved in the offense because then at least you can trust it. Because Andy will make plays designed for the number two tight end. You know how I know that? He makes plays every year designed for the number two tight end. I'm frustrated most of the time to be like, third and six, Nick Kizer wide open for seven, dropped. You're like, oh, I hate you, Kizer. Why? And I don't, but you just like, you get mad at how the play develops. I think they want Noah Gray to become a trusted source in that.
Yeah, no, I mean, Travis Kelce could be right back out there tomorrow. You know, we're talking about back and hip tightness, so it's nothing too severe. I don't think anybody should be freaking out about it whatsoever. But it is, yes, an opportunity for Noah Gray, who before the injury was already getting some work with the ones. We know they're very high on him. Noah Gray actually joined us on the show back around the draft time, day or so, a few days after that, and kind of spoke about how excited he is to be in an offense like this. This is why when we focus in on any of the young players on offense, whether it was Clyde, who joined us yesterday, at some point I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk to Mecole Hardman. If you're a rookie or a second or even a third-year guy on offense, when you have Andy Reid, the mastermind that he is offensively, you've got the best quarterback in football in Patrick Mahomes, like you cannot find yourself in a better position than where these young offensive players are. Noah Gray is another guy. You're not only with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you're also learning from the best tight end in football and a future Hall of Famer in Travis Kelce. And again, we were going to ask Travis Kelce about that, and hopefully we'll have a chance. Just he had his whole coaching clinic that Kelce did in Nashville, and it seemed like he enjoyed the coaching aspect from the video we saw. So how is that helping? Is he, you know, in terms of helping Noah Gray along here and moving him along throughout the early portion of practice? But something to keep an eye on. We'll be back here tomorrow, and we'll see if Travis Kelce's back at practice. Is Anthony Hitchens back at practice? Just two veterans, a little banged up, 2 days into camp.
And if it were 2 days before the first preseason game, I still wouldn't be freaking out, Gold. So that should tell you something at least a little bit on how concerning, I guess, early injuries are. And Kelce walked up on his own. He seemed fine after practice. Obviously, a little bit of a tweak and no big deal.
We had Chris Jones on. We asked him about the pass rush. You asked how many sacks he would have. He obviously said he wasn't going to put a number on it. But we talk so much about that. But also where this team could improve so much more is in the red zone. And the red zone was something that Anthony Hitchens had brought up during minicamp as well. That's been the focus this offseason from the defense is where can we get better? Well, look where we were at in the red zone. Last year, they were last in red zone defense. Last, 2019, 10th, 2018, 27th. So they've kind of gone back and forth here. 2018, when they had the whole overhaul from 2018, they were 27th. Then they overhaul the defense. They bring in new coordinator. They bring in Spags. They bring in Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. We know that defense that year was much, much improved. Last year was a step backwards on the red zone defense. They didn't give up a lot of red zone opportunities, but when you got to the red zone on the Chiefs last year, you were scoring.
It was more than 70% of the time. Do you know how hard it is to do that? They ranked dead last. But the year before that, they were 10th in the league, and the year before that, they were 27th. I have said long before on this show, the reason why you don't want to build any championship franchise anymore with the defense, and really ever, is that it's never going to be a dynasty. You got no dynasty chances. You can still win a Super Bowl if you don't have the right quarterback. You can go that way. But because defense is really movable, I think the Chiefs will be better in the red zone this year just by default. But I actually think that that's where...
From last, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just think we're better than 27th. Or the aggregate of these 3 years, which is 22nd. All I'm really asking for them to be is around middle of the road. They don't have the pieces, if you want me to be honest, to be a number one red zone defense. That requires elite-level front seven play. Do you think the Chiefs have elite-level front seven play? Because I don't. I think they have average front seven play. And what I want out of the average front seven play is to have an average red zone defense. I do think the speed of Nick Bolton and Willie Gay could be a big down there if they're willing to use those guys. And I do think that if Jaron Reed can be as good as Chris Jones in the middle, Chris Jones will be a better outside option to possibly wreck some of those plays too. But the truth is they were bad in the red zone because they couldn't stop the run. And what did they really do to address that? And I don't think they did a lot to address that, truthfully. Jaron Reed helps a little. The linebacker play helps a little. And then you're praying that Willie Gay takes a big step, and maybe he's the sideline to sideline guy who occasionally breaks up a, you know, a second and three run into second and five because he actually gets back there.
His athleticism, Nick Bolton, as well. Nick Bolton played a little bit more, got more, I should say, first-team reps today just because of the injury to Anthony Hitchens as well. But red zone defense, if you're looking for any barometer of how this defense is 4 weeks into the season, when we get to that point, a month into the season, that's going to be the one area. Have they made progress in red zone defense? I think that's how we're going to judge, in addition to just, hey, the overall sack numbers, what is Chris Jones doing, what is Frank Clark doing, assuming he's playing on the outside and isn't suspended or anything. The idea that this team in the red zone improves, that tells you that they've improved in other areas as well. Like, that's the overarching area, red zone defense. That means other things have improved along the way for that to exist. And so that's just a very good sign. If you're a couple weeks into the season and we all of a sudden see this team is defending well in the red zone, it means they're doing a better job stopping the run. It means they're probably getting pressure on the quarterback.
I just wouldn't mind a little more consistency out of Spags' defense. I overall don't have these, like, big overarching complaints about what he's done defensively, especially based on the talent that he's been given, I think. Occasionally, but last year they were dead last in red zone defense, but first gold and allowing teams to get to the red zone. The year before that, they were one of the worst teams in allowing, they were 28th in allowing teams to get to the red zone and 10th at red zone defense. So to me, it's more about, like, just, hey, a little more consistency, find the middle ground for both. Like, just be 15th at both, allow some teams into the red zone, allow some of those teams to score, and just don't be the worst at either. Don't allow them in there too much so the numbers are adding up. Don't allow them to score every time they get in the red zone, and mostly I'll be fine. So Spags could use a little more consistency in that department. I think sometimes it's just talent. It's hard. You need talent in the red zone more than anywhere else.
Our Chiefs insider, Pete Sweeney, he's over in the media tent, and after practice, some of the players, of course, are over there. You heard already from Legarius Sneed. We had Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the show yesterday, but Clyde was talking to the rest of the media today. There was just one interesting note from that today. As Pete Sweeney tweeted out, that Clyde, we all know he had that lower body injury last year against the Saints, and he revealed just a few minutes ago that he was just 85 or 90% in the Super Bowl, and that he's fully healthy, no question about that heading in. But just to give you an idea, at least in the Super Bowl, look, nothing was going right offensively. So 85 to 90% of the Super Bowl, that means throughout the playoff run he was 85 to 90%. A little bit different than a guy like Juan Thornhill, where you were coming off an ACL all year, but it was still a lower body injury for Clyde. It tells you he never got back to 100% before that end of the season.
No, which is not surprising just based on when that injury occurred. That was the question originally. Remember, was he going to be back for any part of that run? And that's when they started to rely a little bit more on Darryl. Darryl the Barrel became a larger factor of the offense at that time because of that. He just and that's that'll be the interesting dynamic, I guess, at running back two and running back three is, do they go to Darryl right away? Do they trust Jerick McKinnon because they're going to try to get the passing game with the running backs going more this year? We seem to think that's going to be a priority for them. So it's, you know, with Clyde, I don't think that's a non-factor, but also we know this. That wasn't the reason that the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. Clyde not being 100% has nothing to do with why they lost the Super Bowl, right? That was simply one area that we've all decided, the offensive line. There were problems defensively, whatever, but if they were never going to get protection, that was always the way that game was going to go. I am glad he's healthy, though. That's important for Clyde. I mean, that's for any year, though, because we could rank them. If you want me to rank them 1 through 11 of offensive players that can afford to lose least, it is Patrick Mahomes 1, Travis Kelce 2, Tyreek Hill 3,
and then I go
offensive
line. I go
Orlando Brown 4.
I go offensive line before I even make my way, and that's not a shot at Clyde, but it's just the value of the running back position and what they're capable of doing with, you know, Darrell Williams Damian Williams a couple years ago in the Super Bowl in the playoff run. That was a guy that nobody thought a whole, you know,
he only
was an undrafted free agent.
In the regular season.
Yeah, was in Miami for a little bit and ended up having a big postseason. So Andy Reid can make it work with the running backs, but, you know, Clyde this year, I think everybody's expecting a continued jump forward, even if last year he still had 1,100 total yards. I know we don't normally look at over-unders until the start of the season, but thinking of Clyde, did you realize where their over-unders were set for Clyde on receiving and rushing? They have him at over 900 on both, as in he's going to have 1,800 total yards of offense. That's where Bavada has yardage. It's like 905 receiving.
That's where we thought he was going to be last year, not we.
You did. And that's where they're
–
that's where
producer.
Yeah, I mean, that's where they're putting their over-unders. Yeah, it doesn't mean they're right, but – interesting, just to give you an idea of what they're putting. They're usually good on at least setting numbers, and they have for Clyde over under 900 yards rushing, over under 925 or so receiving.
I don't think 900 yards rushing is absurd at all.
Not rushing, receiving though, that is a lot.
It's an extra game, which is something I always want to remind people of, right? It is an extra game. If Clyde had played all 17 games last year, and he did not, he would have been like a 1,400-yard back. So 17 games means, or 18 games, you know, 17 games, 16 instead of 17 means, you know, what are we talking, 1,500 back? All it's saying is he's making a 300-yard improvement and stays healthy. But 900 yards receiving is what Christian McCaffrey gets.
900 and a half over-under receiving yards for Clyde, 929 and a half over-under rushing for Clyde
Edwards. I would take the over on rushing, but how could you possibly take the over on receiving?
Look, I mean, we're all excited about the screen game, but that's asking that's a very high number. Even if you think Clyde's going to improve in the receiving game, which we all do, and play in more games, he only played in 13 last year. He had 297 receiving. So you're saying he's going to get 600 more yards receiving? Now he's going to hopefully have a fully healthy season, but that's asking. He could play in four more games, and he's going to get 600 more yards in 400 games.
Well, I guess they think
over 100 yards a game. Okay.
They think all the Sammy Watkins workload's going directly to Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
And he had 803 rushing last year, so he wouldn't need a huge uptick in rushing yardage, and he missed multiple games last year. So the rushing is a feasible number, 929. That's only 130 more yards than he had,
and he's
playing in more. Now, he had chunk yardage. There were multiple games where he had the big yardage output, and then there were a couple where he was down like 55 yards rushing. So
that's running.
More consistency perhaps, and the receiving numbers are going to go up. But that was a glaring number that came out from Bovada when it comes to the over-unders.
It's really, again, I think he's a 1,000-yard back this year if he plays all 17 games, because that's not asking that much. That's like 60 yards a game. It's not asking that much. But to say he's going to be a near 1,000-yard receiver, now we're going right back to the same expectations we had before, right? He's Christian McCaffrey in this offense. And honestly, the Chiefs are never going to use a running back that way when they have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Now, they might – I could see an early part of the stage where he starts pacing for those numbers early, Gold, because we start going those, hey, super deep safety situation, right? And, oh, what are we going to do to combat that? Oh, we're going to throw to Clyde a bunch. But after 3 or 4 weeks of just getting absolutely massacred by it, they'll make the adjustment, they'll key in on Clyde, and then it'll be Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce's time to absolutely eat again. So, even if they go to it early, I don't see how those numbers end up there.
I would love to know where they're – and they're not out there, but where the – Mecole Hardman over-unders are set, because if you're telling me that Clyde's going to have 600 more receiving yards, at least that's the number they're setting, where's the uptick on Mecole Hardman? Do they think there is one? I mean, if you're going to say there's 600 more for Clyde in this, you can't be thinking there's going to be a 300-yardage increase necessarily.
Unless
on
DeMarcus
Mecole Hardman.
Robinson's going down by 200 yards. You can't.
Or they think that somehow there's a downward spiral on one of the other, on a Kelce, which would be surprising, or a Tyreek Hill, and you think they're going to lose yardage in
Kelce
that direction.
Kelce might go below 1,500 yards like he had last year, but not enough to make up the difference we're talking about with him.
Let's get to the final word.
The final word.
Another day up here in St. Joe. Really appreciate Chris Jones for giving us some time. And, if he wants to come on for a snow cone every day, we'll have a snow cone waiting for you, Chris Jones. No problem. Mix up the flavors. You want a red one tomorrow, we'll give you a red snow cone tomorrow. That's done deal.
I was very tempted by the strawberry one. I just wasn't sure. That's what I was hoping he would give me a little flavor recommendation.
Split-second decision, split-second decision that you had there.
I went with the Kona Ice's suggestion. The pros. Trust the professionals in that situation and then go with that to make your decision.
We'll figure out also some way to get Jaron Reed on the show in the next couple weeks, because we've got to bring that up, that he just put you on blast, Jaron, when it comes to what occurred apparently with the toilet in the dorm room here at Missouri Western. Thanks to Nick back in KC. Royals baseball coming your way. Vern will get you all set for the series finale against the White Sox. Vern's On Deck show is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.